Okay, with that out of the way, we're going to dive in here. And like I said, there's so much ground to cover. It's such a big story. And, you know, to me, this situation in Minneapolis, it brings everything together. It really encapsulates everything that's going on. And so tonight we're going to cover this latest ICE-involved killing of a protester. As you know, I'm sure you've seen it, you've heard of it, you've seen the video, you have your take on whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, and whatever. Well, we're going to talk about it. And so our featured story, it's about the death of this young man named Alex Pretty, is the guy's name. He's a U.S. citizen. He's in his 30s. He's a nurse. By all accounts, they say he's an upstanding guy. He's a veteran. He mentors students. He's a medic. They say this is an upstanding gentleman. Well, he found himself in an altercation with Customs and Border Patrol, which is federal law enforcement in Minneapolis. What exactly was he doing there? Well, as you know, the Trump administration has deployed thousands of ICE agents, Border Patrol, hundreds of National Guard to the city for a couple of reasons. One, this is in pursuit of the mass deportation policy. They're investigating criminal illegal aliens, arresting them to remove them from the country. More specifically, number two, the DOJ and DHS are there to investigate welfare fraud by the Somali community in Minneapolis, of which there are about 80,000 of them. And Minneapolis is the locus of maybe one of the biggest welfare fraud scandals in the past 10 years. And that's not me saying this. That's the Biden DOJ. That's the New York Times. Okay? So this is objectively one of the worst fraud scandals in the country in the last 10 years. We're talking about upwards of $8 billion stolen from the state of Minnesota by naturalized Somali citizens that came here as refugees because they went to the government and lied. They said they needed money for autistic kids, daycare, meals for children. In reality, they were producing false receipts, they were stealing the money, and they were using it to enrich themselves and their family members in Somalia. Okay, so this is how the story starts. You have a massive law enforcement presence in the city because of this objectively awful situation. There are foreigners here. They have no legal standing to be here. The ones that do are stealing from us under really the worst auspices. They are taking advantage of charity for children, disabled people, the poor. And wait until you hear about how they're getting away with it, because we'll get into that part of the story. Now, law enforcement is in the city to investigate this and to hold the people involved accountable, whether that means to throw them in jail or remove them from the country. Well, now you have an army of left-wing agitators in the city. It is their mission to harass and impede law enforcement. It is coordinated and organized. They're in the streets, jumping in front of ICE vehicles, alerting the public to the presence of ICE, chasing ICE vehicles, and confronting law enforcement officers in the street. This is where Alex Pretty found himself this weekend. He and his comrades, far-left radical agitators, were in a confrontation with federal law enforcement. The feds tried to apprehend a couple of women. This guy, Alex, jumped in the middle of it. He was thrown to the ground by several ICE agents. He was armed with a pistol. Now, there's video of this. It's not clear. People are looking at it and they're interpreting what they see. And I think there are some reasonable conclusions and some unreasonable conclusions. It appears as though this guy was disarmed. ICE took the gun out of his pants, and then they shot him. And they shot him 10 times, and he died. And this is a story. This is from the New York Times. Gives you a little bit more detail. It says, quote, federal agents in Minneapolis on Saturday fatally shot a 37-year-old man, the second person to be shot and killed in the city during protests against an immigration enforcement effort by the Trump administration. Trump administration officials have defended the shooting of Mr. Priddy as they did the shooting of Renee Good. The Department of Homeland Security said a man approached U.S. Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, and they tried to disarm him. Video suggests that it began after a small group of protesters gathered near federal agents. One of the agents began shoving the demonstrators, deploying pepper spray in their faces. Mr. Priddy, who was holding up his phone, moved to help one of the protesters before agents tackled him. Several seconds after Mr. Priddy was on the ground, agents yelled that he had a gun. One of the officers then pulled what appeared to be a firearm out of the group, apparently from Mr. Priddy, the protester. The agents appeared to be holding him with his arms pinned near his head. They shot him 10 times and he died. Now, this on video looks horrible. It looks awful. And what it looks like is that it is a tragic accident. Border Patrol is in a scuffle with protesters. They are overwhelmed. People are blowing whistles, blaring sirens. They're on a megaphone. Border Patrol is trying to apprehend a couple of people. A guy jumps in the middle of it. He has a gun. He's armed. He's got a gun in his back pocket. They see the gun. They acknowledge the gun. They throw him to the ground. One officer pulls the gun out of his pocket. It's unclear what happens next. Did this firearm accidentally discharge? Did one of the agents misidentify the gun? Did they see the phone in his hand and think it was a gun? Did they think he was reaching for the gun? Did they hear one of the agents yell that there's a gun and one of them panicked and they shot him? It's not really clear exactly what happened from the video that we have. Homeland Security says they have body cam footage of the incident. I'd like to see that. Surely that will give us more clarity about the sequence of events. Either way, from my perspective, and again, it's up for interpretation, it is not unambiguous what happened here. People are looking at the video, and the video is not crisp. It's not crystal clear. But from my point of view, my interpretation, what it looks like is that this is a tragic accident. It looks like the officers were overwhelmed. It's an ugly situation. People are screaming, yelling, blowing whistles. A guy jumped into the mix with a gun. The violence has been escalating. And ICE, Border Patrol, they don't know if this guy is an assassin. They don't know if this guy is out to do them harm. So in their defense, and I am defending them, maybe they're wound up. Maybe that's tensions are high, cortisol spiked. They shot the guy by mistake. It's a horrible situation. Now, a lot of people are saying that because of this, we're going to blame ICE. They say it's unjustified. They're saying that ICE are thugs. They're poorly trained. People are saying they're pussies. They're cowards. There's calls for ICE to be disbanded, for ICE to leave the city. They're saying that this is the modern day Gestapo, that Trump's private military is out there killing American citizens. Now, addressing the killing specifically, I would say this much about it. The situation is being completely misrepresented, just as it was with Renee Good. Is this a completely justifiable killing? To me, it looks like an accident. But how did this guy wind up in this situation? Let's not be naive about what is taking place here. This is not a protest. Okay, this is not a lawful demonstration. What is happening in Minneapolis, and nobody is covering this in the mainstream media. They call it a protest. They say these are demonstrators. That's not what this is. This is coordinated resistance to law enforcement. It is violent. It is militant. It is escalating. And what this constitutes is harassment and impeding law enforcement. That's what this guy was involved in. That's what all these people were involved in. How did these people find themselves in this situation? Were they in front of a federal building holding up a sign with the permit, lawfully making their voices heard under the First Amendment, protected speech and assembly? No, that's not what they were doing. These people are involved with local left-wing groups that are all coordinating and communicating with each other in group chats on Signal, and they are actively surveilling law enforcement, tracking their license plates, tracking their vehicles, trying to identify individual agents. They're organizing supplies, logistics, personnel, and they are deliberately and intentionally following ICE around in their vehicles, on foot, in the street, harassing them and impeding their operations. This is a story about it from Fox News Digital. This is the only mainstream source that I saw. This is a story about what is happening there. It says, quote, "A coordinated web of encrypted chats, street alerts, and tracking of ICE abductors in a sophisticated database reviewed by Fox News Digital shows that agitators were already mobilized at the scene where 37-year-old Alex Priddy was killed minutes before any shots were fired. The encrypted Signal messages obtained by Fox News Digital in real time show that anti-ICE rapid responders were actively tracking, broadcasting, and summoning backup around federal agents outside Glam Doll Donuts on Nicolette Avenue, where the shooting happened. Local rapid responders made at least 26 entries into a database called Minnesota ICE Plates in the critical hours before and after the killing, documenting the license plate numbers and details of alleged ICE vehicles they claimed to see around Nicolette Avenue." Okay? So you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of left-wing agitators. They are a part of local activist groups. They self-identify as progressive, socialist, communist, far-left, liberationist. And they are working together in encrypted messaging apps to dox law enforcement. There is a database in the group chat of hundreds of entries of ICE license plates and vehicles. They are coordinating logistics and personnel to show up where they see ICE, tracking them, broadcasting their location, and then summoning people to go and confront them. That appears to be what was happening here. So let's be clear about that. That's not a demonstration. That's not a protest. If I want to go and protest a law, if I want to go and protest a policy, I go outside the government building where the representatives are. I go to the state capitol. If I want to protest DHS, maybe I go to a federal building, I go to a detention center, I go to a DHS building, and I go on a public sidewalk or I take out a permit and I show up with the media or with my friends and I go and yell my slogans, hold up my sign, whatever. That's not what this is. This is coordinated. This is intentional. And it's not a protest. This is about impeding the operation of law enforcement. What is the purpose of this? Other than to stop ICE from doing their job, it is to physically impede them from doing their job. It is to physically show up, intimidate, harass, make ICE feel vulnerable and unsafe. It is meant to alert the people they are trying to arrest so that they can flee. And if all of that fails, to physically get in the middle of law enforcement and the people they're trying to arrest, to physically block them, blowing whistles, using their vehicles, jumping in front of them. That is what is going on here. Now, you also have a guy that showed up to this with a gun. Okay? So, technically, you can show up to a protest if you are legally carrying a concealed weapon. But again, this is not a protest. You are showing up to impede federal law enforcement with a loaded gun, concealed. Not only that, you are standing in the middle of the street and you're getting in the middle of an altercation. If you watch the video closely, Border Patrol is apprehending two agitators who, again, are there to impede law enforcement. We don't know exactly what led up to that moment, But they're blowing whistles. They're in the street. They're chasing ICE through the streets. Border Patrol is apprehending somebody that they're trying to arrest. You stand in the middle of the street with your loaded gun. You run up on Border Patrol trying to arrest somebody and get in the middle of that. At that point in time, you forfeit your life. Okay? Would it be ideal if he were detained and arrested? Certainly. If they knew his intentions, but they don't. They don't know your intentions. What they see is that they are surrounded. They are being chased through the streets. They are being harassed. A masked man with a loaded gun is running up to them at close range and getting physical. What conclusion can they draw in a split second? What really do you expect them to do? It's not a courtroom. You cannot adjudicate a person's innocence or guilt, their intentions, in a split second like that. Is it tragic in a sense? Certainly. And is it accidental? Is it ideal? I don't think it's ideal. It looks to me like an accident. But accidents happen in this kind of situation. Nobody forced you to impede law enforcement. Nobody forced you to get in the middle of law enforcement apprehending a person. And nobody forced you to bring a loaded gun when you did it. And by the way, everybody understands this. Think about it. If you see a traffic stop on the side of the road and a cop is getting out of his car and walking up to the window of a person that they've pulled over, if you drive up to them with a loaded gun in the passenger seat and say, hey, stop this, what do you think is going to happen? Is that normal? Is that a protest? Is that First Amendment protected? Is that a good idea? If you see a traffic stop, if you see a regular local police officer chasing a suspect and you run up on them and get in the middle with a loaded gun in the back of your pants, what do you think is going to happen? If you get your face blown off, are you going to say, well, I wasn't going to shoot them? Okay, well, they don't know that. You'd be better off standing in the picket line. You'd be better off standing on the sidewalk with a sign. And people are just simply lying about what is happening in Minneapolis, what has been happening in every major city. Because by the way, it's not an isolated incident. You have ICE officers and ICE facilities across the country that are being shot at by snipers, that are being bombed by radicals, literally firebombed. They have tried to breach ICE detention facilities. They actively in Chicago use vehicles to ram ICE cars, to box them in, also with loaded guns, in some cases rifles. And you have a situation in Minneapolis where these agitators are out of control. We have seen video, firsthand video in Minneapolis, also in other cities, of law enforcement who are not ICE being harassed by agitators. I saw one video of cops. They're with a child protection unit. They're arresting child rapists, and they're being harassed by agitators who think they're ICE. Journalists being followed through the streets for hours by agitators, getting out of their car, hands up, saying, we're not ICE. The agitators demand to see ID. They say, get out of the city. Let's not be ignorant. They're out there in Minneapolis breaking into hotels, vandalizing them, going where ICE is sleeping and eating and trying to attack them. The situation in Minneapolis is not that protesters are being murdered and gunned down by the Gestapo. No. This has become the locus. This has become a rallying point of left-wing agitators. These are socialists, communists, progressives, radical leftists, who are ideologically motivated to stop mass deportations. They are there to protect criminals. They are there to protect illegal aliens. They are there to protect Somalian fraudsters. And they are there to get in the middle of law enforcement and the people they are trying to arrest. Frequently, they're armed. Frequently, they're breaking the law. Either it's vandalism, it's harassment, it's assault. And so under these circumstances, this is completely justified, 100%. And by the way, I don't care if he's a veteran. I don't care if he's a nurse. I don't care if he's a U.S. citizen. We have fucking laws in this country. Donald Trump won the election. He won the Electoral College. He won the popular mandate on a platform of mass deportations. We have a federal government. The Constitution grants it powers. Trump is the chief executive in the country. He is empowered by the Constitution to deport aliens that have no legal standing to be here. That is his jurisdiction. It is lawful. It is under the jurisdiction of the federal government. These are his powers reserved by the Constitution for the executive branch, and there is a democratic popular mandate to do it. So what right do far left agitators have to veto this? 70 million Americans voted for this. You have 316, 312 electoral college votes voted for this. That's our Constitution. That's our Immigration and Nationality Act or Naturalization Act. That's the INA. What right do a few hundred left-wing progressives have to go in there and say, no, you don't have a right to deport illegals. No, we're going to abrogate all the laws. No, Somalians can steal money. Criminal illegals can stay here. People that have no right to be here are going to be here in perpetuity. And then commit crimes in furtherance of this, intimidation, harassment, assault, vandalism. You have no right. You have no right. And if these people are successful in stopping the government from enforcing the law, then who's in charge here? Who's in charge of our country? Is it the government, which is elected by the people? The government, which is created by the Constitution? Or is it a bunch of shithead fucking communists? Who's really in control of our society? These idiots banging pots and pans and bringing the drum set and bringing their stupid costumes? These idiots, these pieces of shit, they get to determine who gets to be in our country, who gets government money for welfare. It's up to them. I mean, seriously. Otherwise, the government has to crush them. The government has to absolutely destroy them. We have elections. We have representatives. We have a constitution. We have a government. We have laws. We have police. This is supposed to be a sane and orderly society. If the laws are not being respected, people need to be arrested. If they resist arrest, then they need to be neutralized. That's not fascism. That's not Nazism. That's the basis of any society. That's the basis of any order. You cannot have radical nut jobs vetoing elections and laws and the maintenance of order in a society. That is ridiculous. And by the way, you know, I see a lot of people on Twitter. I saw Dave Smith say this and others too. They say, you know, I'm all in favor of immigration restriction, but I don't like these heavy-handed tactics. Okay, well, how do you think we're going to do it exactly? You want to deport 1 million people per year. That's 4,000 people per day. They don't want to leave. They have it too good here. They would rather take the chance because America is so much better. They'd rather take their chances with ICE and Border Patrol and DHS because America is so much richer than go back home voluntarily. They don't want to go. How do you get 4,000 people every single day to leave the country when they don't want to leave? Well, you have to coercively remove them. You have to show up with guns, with overwhelming force, using intelligence. And with respect to law enforcement, you need to do it in such a way where law enforcement is not put in jeopardy. You have to pick these people up, throw them in a car, put them in a cage, and then take them back to where they came from. How do you do this without somebody being accidentally arrested somewhere? 4,000 per day, 365 days a year. How do you do this without one person being accidentally arrested? It can't happen. Okay, well, now you have left-wing agitators showing up in every city, in Chicago, in LA, in Minneapolis, rioting, firebombing the facilities, harassing ICE. Now you have a hostile environment. Local police will not respond to distress calls from federal law enforcement. The local government is giving sanctuary to these people. They're actively enabling and emboldening the agitators. So what now? You got to deport 4,000 people per day, plus you got to do it while you're being chased and shot at and boxed in and firebombed. And you think nobody's going to die? You think not one person is going to die? They're using vehicles as weapons. They're showing up armed. You've got TikToks with 10 million views saying we have to show up with guns and have a standoff with law enforcement. And you say, well, you know, I'm in favor of mass deportations, but I don't think violence is acceptable to achieve it. You're not really in favor of mass deportations then. Sorry, that's what's involved in this. And let's back it up a little bit, okay? Trump did not get elected one day to kill everybody for no reason, okay? That's not how this started. It's not like a bunch of racist Nazis woke up one day and said, we need to kill a bunch of innocent nurses and lesbian poets and arrest five-year-olds for no reason. That's not how this started. This started because tens of millions of people invaded our country illegally. They knew they were doing it illegally. They came here. They have violated all of our laws. They have stolen from us. We know this. It is an alternative lifestyle. They live underground. They have multiple families living in a single family residence, typically on food assistance, on housing assistance. They use the emergency room as healthcare. They then send their kids to public schools. They're on all kinds of assistance. They don't learn the language. They don't say the pledge. If you even think about holding these people accountable, they laugh in your face. They don't assimilate. They make their money. They send it home as remittances. The technical term in the literature is called ampersands. Many of them will come here and then they go on vacation in Mexico and then they come back. They know that what they're doing is illegal. They know that what they're doing is wrong. They have broken every law every step of the way. They're not welcome here. They have no legal standing to be here. And on top of it, they are abusing the system. They are parasiting and leeching off of the government dole. They're altering the way the country is. And by the way, they do bring their gang violence. They do bring their clannish identity politics. They do bring in chain migration and all of it. Now, Trump was elected to reverse this. And by the way, the first thing that he did was create an iPhone app where you can get a paycheck for $3,000 and a free plane ticket. And if you're illegal, you can go home. We're literally paying you. If you broke the law and have taken advantage for 20 years, we are literally bribing you, paying you to leave. It costs you nothing. Here's a free plane ticket. Here's a few grand. Anybody can self-deport. It's much cheaper and it's much easier, but they are staying. The new law of the land, as everybody knows, is that we have no tolerance for this, but they're still staying. So Trump has to come in and drag their asses out. And now you have people that are getting in the middle of it. And once again, you have federal law enforcement. These are actually decent, courageous people that want to enforce the law. Now they are being doxxed, given death threats, being shot at, being harassed and intimidated. And now people want to complain about all these things that are happening. Let's not start in the middle of the story. Let's start at the beginning. We would have no problems if illegals never came here. We'd have no problems if they just simply left. And nobody would be getting hurt if when the Trump administration finally starts deporting them, nobody threw themselves in front of ICE using deadly weapons, using guns, cars, being a part of this organized resistance. And if you don't see that, I'm sorry, but you're not serious about fixing our country's problems, okay? What is the fucking alternative here? We have open borders. You probably have 30 to 40 million illegal aliens here. They are committing crimes. They are a permanent underclass. What exactly is the alternative? They're going to stay here forever? 10 million illegal aliens came in under Joe Biden. That was after the pandemic. So what? They came here under an open border regime and now they're here forever? How does that even make sense? They have not been here for 20 years paying taxes, whatever people say about the rest of them. 10 million people, that's the size of the city of Chicago metropolitan area. 10 million people came here recently. And what, now that we just got to take care of them forever? We got to feed them, house them, clothe them, pay for their kids' education. Their kids are citizens. Why? Does that even make sense? We're being vetoed from removing them because some fat lesbian and some male nurse threw themselves in front of ICE and got shot because they were stupid? Because you sped up when a cop happened to be standing in front of your car because you ran up on a couple of cops with a loaded gun in your pants? And now we can't have a border? Oh, well, 10 million people just got amnesty now. Because the mob said we can't get rid of them. Even though you won the election, even though you won the Electoral College, even though you got $190 billion for ICE, that's all canceled now because a fat lesbian died. Really? What exactly is the alternative? Either we're going to close the border and have mass deportations and we are going to imprison these radicals, or we live in their country. The alternative is that we wait for whites to become a minority. We wait for Ilhan Omars and Rashida Tlaibs and Zohran Mamdanis and the squad to take over everything and then expropriate our money, because that's the regime. And let's back it up even further. Let's talk about this specific incident. Do you want to know why DHS and ICE are in Minneapolis? It is because the Somalis there are stealing billions of dollars from the taxpayer. Let me read a little story to you. This is from the New York Times. Okay. It's not from Fox News. It's not from 4chan. It's not from the Daily Stormer. This is from the New York Times about what is going on in Minneapolis. You need to hear this. It says, quote, federal prosecutors say that 59 people have been convicted in welfare fraud schemes so far, and that more than $1 billion in taxpayer money has been stolen in three plots that they are investigating. That is more than Minnesota spends annually to run its Department of Corrections. By the way, it could be as high as $8 billion, eight times that. Merrick Garland, the attorney general under the Biden administration, said it was the largest pandemic relief fraud in the country. That's Joe Biden's DOJ. And this is, by the way, in the middle of an already giant fraud system. The Paycheck Protection Program, all that COVID relief, there's tons of fraud. It's happening everywhere. So that's saying something. You had hundreds of billions of dollars going out. There's tons of fraud. And Biden's attorney general said this is worse than anything else in the country. It gets better. Feeding Our Future, the nonprofit group, which was the largest provider in the pandemic program, responded with a warning to the state, which was investigating them for fraud. In the email, the group told the state agency that failing to promptly approve new applications from minority-owned businesses would result in a lawsuit featuring accusations of racism, which would be sprawled across the news. Feeding Our Future later sued that agency, which continued reimbursing claims and approving new sites in the months that followed. Okay? So these Somalians are going to the state and they're looking to get money for their nonprofits and welfare schemes. The state starts to investigate for fraud because the state notices that these receipts are ballooning out of control. And they say, I don't think this money is going to what they're saying that it's going to. And the Somalis reply with this political shakedown. They say, well, if you don't approve the money we're stealing, we will sue you for racism. If you deny our applications, which we know and you know we know is fraud, then we'll sue you because you're looking into a minority-owned business for racism. These are the people inside of our country. It gets better. This is Casey Megan, a Somali American who formerly worked as a fraud investigator for the Minnesota Attorney General's office, said that elected officials in the state were reluctant to be more assertive in response to allegations in the Somali community. He said, quote, "There is a perception that forcefully tackling this issue might cause political backlash among the Somali community, which is a core voting bloc for Democrats." As a trial in the meals fraud case was coming to a close last summer, an attempt to bribe a juror included an explicit insinuation about racism, said prosecutors. Several defendants in the trial were found to have arranged to send a bag containing $120,000 to a juror, along with a note that read, why is it always people of color and immigrants prosecuted for the fault of other people? So the state is suing these nonprofits for fraud. The nonprofits are bribing the jury in the case with a bag full of cash and telling them, here's what you're going to say. This is just a case of white supremacy, blaming immigrants and people of color for white people's problems. Shakedown for $8 billion. So in 1991, the country of Somalia utterly collapses. We are legally obligated to take them in as refugees under our own laws. We bring in 80,000 Somalis from their failing shithole warlord pirate country, and we put them in Minnesota because it's cheap and there's good jobs and there's good infrastructure and there's good public services. How do they repay us for plucking them out of anarchy and putting them in Fargo, putting them in Minnesota? They start stealing from us to the tune of $8 billion. Stealing from us by taking advantage of our charity, saying that they need the money for daycare, for meals, for the poor, for kids with autism. In reality, they're buying luxury cars, condominiums. They're giving the money to their relatives in Somalia. And then when we find out about it, they guilt trip us about racism. So they take advantage of our kindness, bringing them here and hospitality. They take advantage of our altruism and generosity, giving them money. And then they take advantage of our sense of universalism by guilt tripping us over racism. At a certain point, blackmailing us over racism, saying, if you stop our fraud, which you know is going on and we know you know is going on, well, then we'll just call you racist in the papers and we'll let your fellow white people hang you. Fuck these people. Fuck these people. Every one of these people should be denaturalized. I don't care what paperwork they have. It should be reversed. It should be ripped up and shredded. They should be put in a military cargo plane and crash it into the ocean. Crash it into Somalia. I don't care what you do with these people. Give them a parachute and throw them out of the back of the plane. Fuck them. Every single one of them that is involved in this. This is a hostile action. What kind of people are they? Think about that. Think about how evil you have to be. This country rescues you. We saved you. You could have been beheaded and scalped and skinned alive in your country. Now you're in Minnesota. People roll out the red carpet because we're nice, liberal society. You come here, you steal from us, we catch you with your hand in the cookie jar, you say, well, you better not investigate or else you're racist. They should be hanged. The government, forget even about deportation, these people should be given the death penalty. They should be arrested and they should be given the death penalty for this, for humiliating our country, for betraying our country. What kind of people tolerates this? What kind of people does this to a country? What kind of people tolerates this from another people? This is what Democrats are protecting. This is what these radical left shitheads are protecting. Trump gets elected to investigate stuff like this. He goes there and you have white people throwing themselves in front of it. You think the Somalians are going to be holding a funeral for Alex Pretty, Renee Good? No, that's only stupid white people. It's only stupid, weak white people that are going to die for these invaders and that are going to throw funerals for the white martyrs that die for the invaders. The invaders are laughing all the way to the bank. And again, you say, what is the alternative? Either you deport all of them, and yeah, some people are going to die, or this is what we have to tolerate forever. More of this forever. More people pouring into the cities that hate us. More people using machine Democrat politics to steal from us until eventually there is no more wealth. That's really the story. They take over California, they take over Minnesota, they take over New York, they take over every single state with their clannish, pro-immigrant identity politics. They loot the state with wealth taxes, with property taxes, all kinds of new taxes. Like Zohran Mamdani said, we're going to tax the white neighborhoods more to pay for busing and meals and them government programs and all this until you know what's going to happen eventually. There's going to be no more white people. Nobody's going to be working because who wants to work to have the product of your labor stolen? And then once you have stolen all the wealth that's already been created, then there's no more wealth. We're not producing any more wealth, and there is no more wealth. And then where does that leave us? It leaves us a minority in a failing, poor country with nothing that will be blamed for everything. Then you're South Africa. That's your story. We are outnumbered by non-whites. They tax us. They expropriate all of our stuff through fraud, through guilt tripping, minority-owned businesses, all this kind of stuff. Fewer white people, fewer producers, more extraction means eventually there's no more wealth. And one day your grandkids wake up, they're a minority in a country that hates them, blames them for all the problems. And when they can't take any more stuff, they're going to enslave us and take our lives. That's the alternative. And you feel bad about this race traitor? That's what they are. You feel bad about this lesbian poet and Alex Pretty, the male nurse? You feel sorry for these race traitors that laid down their life in defense of this scheme? You can't plead ignorance. They're in their late 30s. Renee Good was 38. This guy was 37. What is the excuse? These are not college kids that got misguided. These are not college kids that don't know any better. These are full-grown adults. We are in the post-COVID era. We are thoroughly in the Trump era. If you don't get it at this point, you're irredeemable. If you're out there throwing yourself in front of ICE to die for these dirtbags, let them. Let them. One less asshole in the world. One less traitor in the world. That's what I say. There's no moral equivalency. People say, oh, well, you know, they're a U.S. citizen and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, they're not acting like citizens. Being a citizen implies an obligation, not just a privilege. Being a citizen and a good citizen and a loyal citizen doesn't just mean you're here to bitch and yell and complain and scream and blow your whistle. Being a citizen means you're patriotic. It means you're taking care of government efficiency, self-governance. You're taking care of our productive capacity and defense and security as a nation. If you're tolerating this kind of stuff, that's not good citizenship. If you're hunting down law enforcement, that's not good citizenship. Wake me up when a real citizen gets killed by law enforcement. Then I'll have a problem. This is not citizenship. Now, that's number one. So a lot of people are just delusional about this. A lot of people just do not have the balls for it. They would literally rather see our country be destroyed than tolerate some ugliness, because that's really what it comes down to. Either we lose the country or we got to get serious. And getting serious means we can't go and virtue signal on Twitter and say, you know, I don't like the government killing a guy and blah. Shut up. I mean, the guy is out there being like, these people are betraying the country. Like, there's not going to be a country if these people win. They have to lose. So if you're out there virtue signaling about the principle of the matter, I don't like the government killing people, whether they're right or left. Well, there's really no moral equivalency there. Because if the left doesn't start to lose, they're going to kill us. First, they're going to kill our country. Then they're going to kill us. So people say, you know, I don't care if they're left or right. We need to see everybody as a citizen and the principle needs to apply to everybody. Yeah, well, you know, it really doesn't in effect. Because if the left has it their way, they're going to kill us. If the left has it their way, they're going to kill our country. So, no, we actually don't need to fight for their right to win or else we're hypocrites. Well, you see, you want to win and they want to win. You can't tell them they can't win if you want to win. No, it is a zero-sum game. We win, they lose. They win, we lose. It's that simple. That's that. I do want to move on. I want to get into this other angle because this is something else that I've seen. I see a lot of people lately, they're blaming everything on Israel, this included. I've seen a lot of Israel critical voices on the left and in the middle. They're all criticizing ICE. They're all calling for the abolition of ICE. And they're trying to somehow work the Israel angle into this. I'll read you a sampling of some tweets. I wrote some of them down here in my notes. These are prominent Israel critics on the left. This is Ryan Grimm. Ryan Grimm is a white male leftist, formerly from The Intercept. Now he's at Drop Site News. Very critical of Israel, very critical of Zionism. He writes in response to J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance said, "The level of engineered chaos is unique to Minneapolis. It's the direct consequence of far-left agitators working with local authorities." True. Ryan Grimm replies, "This talking point echoes Bill Ackman, the Jewish Zionist pro-Israel billionaire." He says, "It's idiotic. Everyone knows why Minneapolis is in chaos. It's because you chose to send your untrained forces there." Later, he tweeted, "Disarming ICE is a good first step." So if you think that far left agitators are the problem, this left wing guy says, "You sound like a Zionist billionaire." Then he says we need to abolish ICE. Hassan Piker, another Israel critic, pro-Palestine guy, he says, quote, "The siege on Minnesota is where you really see the West Bank occupation tactics on U.S. soil. Constant militarized ICE presence on the street, illegal detentions, killing people trying to defend their neighbors, labeling them terrorists. Fascism is colonialism turned inward. It's here." Then he said, "It's not just abolish ICE, we must punish ICE. Justice must be served." Chunk Uyghur says, "The point of ICE isn't to protect Americans, it is to divide Americans. It's the culture war on steroids and on the streets. Meanwhile, nothing has been fixed for the average American and we're at each other's throats. The donors win, the great American robbery continues." Glenn Greenwald says, "If you want to justify this ICE killing of an American, it's a blatant lie to claim that a would-be assassin tried to murder federal law enforcement. That didn't happen. Also, automatically labeling Americans that are killed by ISIS terrorists is the Israelization of the United States." Max Blumenthal, a Jew, says about Rene Good, "This crystal clear video of ICE shooting a U.S. citizen in the head is what Trump's golden age looks like. Terror capitalism imposed on subjects across the Americas to protect economic plunder by a decadent class of Zionist tech plutocrats." I see all these left-wing people, they're saying, "Abolish ICE. ICE is terrorist capitalism. ICE is the Israelization of America. ICE is a West Bank occupation. ICE is how Israel treats the Palestinians." Okay. Keep in mind, every one of these people is in favor of open borders. Okay? Every one of them to a man wants open borders, wants mass migration. We have 30 million illegal aliens living here. How are you going to get them out? You need ICE and Border Patrol to physically remove them. If you want to abolish ICE and Border Patrol, how are you going to get them out? Answer, you can't. You don't. They don't want to physically remove these people. What happens if you don't physically remove them? It's effectively an amnesty. It means that 30 million illegals are here home free, and they are going to defraud the state, and they are going to be a leech on the public dole, and they are going to irreversibly change America's identity. And they're fine with that. They don't care. As a matter of fact, they support that ideologically. Ideologically, as leftists, they don't believe in borders. They don't believe that we have a right to control who comes in and out of the country. They don't believe that America should be a white country. They like seeing America become less white. They don't think America is a white country or ought to be one. They think that diversity is a strength. They think that it will be better when brown people can come in here and tell us what to do, when they can become representatives and wear their hijabs and wear their other ethnic and religious garb and advocate for their own clans and their own tribe. They want to see white people put in their place. They want to see America put in its place. That's really what this is all about. They want to bring these people here. They want some form of socialism. They want all these non-white people in these Democrat machine cities to do a bunch of community organizing. They want the workers of the world to unite, and they want to take over the city government with the DSA like Zohran Mamdani did and redistribute all the resources, take from white people, give to the non-whites, take from the natives, give to the immigrants, take from the rich and use it to pay for healthcare and education and endless infinite resources for immigrants and minorities and single women and all these other groups. That is what they support. And then they try to tell us it has something to do with Israel. Really? So you have 80,000 Somalians. They are here committing the biggest fraud scheme in America. They're stealing $8 billion from us. They get caught red-handed. They sue for racism. You're telling me that if we go to arrest them and remove them, we're acting like Israel? They're stealing from us. These are people, they're not white, they're not Christian, they don't speak the language, they don't assimilate, they don't even like us. They're stealing from us. If we try to arrest them, imprison them, or remove them from the country, we're acting like Israel? I thought you didn't like Israel. You're trying to make me like them? Now that's like the West Bank? No, what is happening in the West Bank is that territory is being settled by civilians. People are being forced from their homes because they want to create some kind of ethnostate where there wasn't one 100 years ago. And they're massacring and murdering people to do it. What is ICE doing in Minneapolis? They're arresting people that are stealing money under the aegis of using it for a nonprofit. This is the same thing? You've got non-whites here. They're openly telling us, we are here to take our land back. You're from Somalia. It's not yours. You have people that are coming here. Their ancestors didn't live here. They didn't build this country. They're from another continent in some cases. They're here telling us this is stolen land. This is nobody's land. This is all for us. They're invading our country. They're taking our stuff. They're not assimilating in our country. If we go and arrest them, oh, now that's like Israel. Oh, this is a form of terrorism. Oh, now you're acting like the IDF. Seriously? And what is happening here is that the left is using this Israel issue as a front. Why? Because Israel is extraordinarily unpopular. Normies are disgruntled about Israel. And the left knows it is more popular to shit on Israel than to defend Somalian scammers and Venezuelan gang members. So they're burying the lead. Instead of leading with, hey, we want to give all these people amnesty, that's what they support. Instead of going out there and saying abolish ICE because we want these people to have amnesty, because we don't care if America becomes non-white, we want open borders, we want these people to stay here forever, that would be unpopular. Instead of saying that, they're saying if you oppose this, you're a Zionist, you're pro-Israel. ICE is like Israel. ICE is like the IDF. You know that other unpopular thing? Well, this is like that. They're bundling these topics, and they're trying to make it so that you feel as though you can't oppose Israel unless you also oppose ICE. But I have a newsflash for you. Here's the ironic twist of fate. Mass migration in and of itself is a Jewish agenda. It always has been from the very beginning. Do you want to know who started the myth that America is a melting pot for all different cultures and religions? A Jew from Israel. His name is Israel. His name is Israel Zangwill. Came to the United States, popularized the idea that America's a melting pot. You might say, well, why did the Jews want to do that? Well, because they are a religious and ethnic minority. If America is a white Christian country, well, then Jews are the alien. They feel otherized, marginalized, uncomfortable. There might be limits to how high up the ladder they can ascend. So it behooves them to redefine America and say, well, anyone can be an American. Anyone from any religion and any ethnic background can be just as American as anybody else. Well, obviously that benefits them because they're not ethnically European and they're not religiously Christian. So if America is a country that pays deference or reverence or has primacy for the English settlers or for the European immigrants or for Christians, they're excluded. If America's for any and all people, well, they're just like anybody else. And it behooves them, by the way, then, to assault America with tons of non-white, non-Christian people. Because you know what? If the country were 98% white Christian and 2% Jewish, it would be really hard to make the case that America is a true melting pot. But if America is 13% black and 15% Hispanic and 10% Asian and 55% white, well, now you can really make the case. Now you have a united front. Now everybody that's here that isn't white and isn't Christian is all on the same side, and they're all advocating for themselves. The Hispanics want more chain migration. The Asians want more chain migration. The blacks want integration and civil rights. And the Jews want America to no longer be white and Christian. So they can all get together and say, hey, you know what? We're all just as American, no matter what we believe or what color we are or what language we speak or what our cultures. Now America means nothing. This is why Jewish lawyers and Jewish groups like the ADL, like the American Jewish Committee, like the American Jewish Congress, they were not just incidental, they were instrumental in opening up the floodgates to mass migration in 1965. They were instrumental specifically in removing the national origins quota, which restricted immigration from the third world. They were instrumental in the Civil Rights Act. They were instrumental in racial integration, in affirmative action. All these policies that wound up creating the situation, whether it was accepting refugees. You know who the original refugees were? Jews from the Holocaust. In 91, there's Somalians from Somalia. They were instrumental in getting Christianity out of the schools because that's exclusionary towards Jews. Well, now it's Islam in Minneapolis in the schools. They were instrumental in affirmative action and DEI and civil rights protections, the same sorts of protections that have the state government in Minneapolis prioritizing benefits to minority-owned businesses. And that's why they're afraid of being sued for civil rights violations. They orchestrated the situation. They manufactured the situation. The modern left was conceived of by Jewish intellectuals, codified by Jewish lawyers, fought for by Jewish revolutionaries, paid for by Jewish billionaires. The left is anti-Zionist. They are not anti-Israel. They are not anti-Jewish. As a matter of fact, The left and the Jewish community are inextricable. They cannot be separated. The only reason the left criticizes Zionism is because of their leftist ideology. They see Israel as a capitalist country, an extension of U.S. hegemony. They see it as a flavor of white supremacy, that you have a fair-skinned group allied with the British Empire in the United States oppressing brown-skinned Muslims. But if Israel became a liberal state, they would support it. And by the way, many Jews are anti-Zionist while being pro-Jewish. They want Jewish billionaires to keep funding communism. They want Jewish billionaires to keep funding the left. They want for America to be a pluralistic country for all different religions, all different ethnicities. They want to promote this. They have promoted this historically. So here's the little irony. A guy like Hassan Piker or Cenk Uygur or Max Blumenthal or Ryan Grimm or Glenn Greenwald, they're trying to outflank the right by saying, hey, if you support ICE, well, you're pro-Israel. But they're doing this in support of the most Jewish policy, which is mass immigration. So they're trying to make you feel like an Israel shill if you don't support white genocide, which is the Jewish agenda in America. And they're doing it while they would tell you, if you rebutted and said, you know what, you're supporting open borders, that's Jewish, they would call you an anti-Semite. So go figure. They're trying to purity check you and say, you're not being a good anti-Zionist by supporting white genocide. And you go and say, well, white genocide is Jewish, then they'll call you an anti-Semite. So which is it, actually? These are people that are pro-Jewish. At the minimum, they're not countering the Jewish agenda in the American diaspora. And they're using this purity spiral on anti-Zionism to get you to acquiesce to white genocide. It's a trick. And I've been saying this for months. This is what the left has been doing. You understand? Charlie Kirk got shot by a leftist. Who did the left blame? Who did Max Blumenthal and at the Gray Zone? It was the Gray Zone, Max Blumenthal's publication, which said Charlie Kirk was turning down Bill Ackman's money. Charlie Kirk turned down Netanyahu's money. Max Blumenthal, a pro-Jewish Jewish leftist, it was his publication which was the source originally of the theory that Israel killed Kirk. Now, why do you think he did that? He is a leftist that hates anti-Semites, hates Nazis, hates America, hates white nationalists, thinks that America's a terror capitalist empire. He did that to obfuscate the truth that the left killed this guy, that left-wing violence is real. Then the United States toppled the government in Venezuela, a socialist government. Well, I hate to break it to you, but there are radical DSA groups in America that have ideological affinity with Maduro. You might like Maduro because he's pro-Palestine and outlawed abortion and gay marriage. They like Maduro because they are third worldist socialists. They love to see a brown communist flip the bird at America. That's why they like him. Because they want to see brown people come here and loot white people's wealth to create some kind of workers' paradise. Like, that's why they support Maduro. So when we kidnap Maduro, the usual suspects, Hassan Piker, Blumenthal, the rest of them said, oh, if you support this, you're pro-Israel. No, you're an anti-colonial, anti-white, anti-American piece of shit. And you're bundling that with criticizing Israel. Now here we are again. Brown people are stealing from us, from another country. They're not putting America first. They're not Christian. They're not white. They don't even like us. They hate us. They're criminals. We go to arrest them. And these people say, oh, you can't arrest them. As a matter of fact, abolish the police that are trying to arrest them. And if you don't support that, oh, you're pro-Israel. The left has successfully gaslit normies, independents. They have identified the Israel critical cause with their own priorities. That is why I am necessary. because I am a right-wing counter-Semite. I am countering Jewish power, whether it is left-wing American Jewry, which wants open borders, which wants egalitarianism, which wants progressivism. I also oppose the Republican Party corruption of the Jews in Israel that want us to fight their wars. You have to be both. That is America first. Left-wing Jews in the diaspora in Europe and America promote progressivism, secularism, open borders, multiculturalism, because it's good for the Jews living in Europe and America. Right-wing Jews in Israel that live in Israel or live in America and Europe supporting Israel, they support the Republican Party and the right-wing parties in Europe because those parties are going to prevent Muslims and leftists from compromising their foreign aid, and they're going to bring us to war in the Middle East against Iran because the right wing is the party of jingoism and the military-industrial complex and the rest of it. I am America first. I am a nationalist. I oppose both of these things. I think that America should have strong borders, should have a state religion, Christianity. We should have a white majority. We should have a coherent whole, a coherent sense of identity and self, history and heritage. I also think we should not be influenced by a foreign lobby. And by the way, having an army of millions of non-white people that are here illegally, that is just as pernicious a foreign influence as AIPAC is. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. You got 40 million illegals dropping anchors away with birthright citizenship. Then it's chain migration, bringing the familia with them, bringing everybody with them. And what do they do when they're here? They advocate on behalf of their own people, on behalf of Somaliland, on behalf of India, on behalf of Pakistan, on behalf of China, whatever. That is no less America last than Jews that are here that put Israel first with AIPAC. So I'm not a leftist. I'm not a socialist. You can take that anti-colonial bullshit and shove it up your ass. Colonialism is a good thing. Europe is good. America is good. Christianity is good. The European empires were good and they should come back. Okay? That's called taking your own side. Yes, America should be as prosperous and successful and as powerful as possible. I'm also not under any illusions about Zionism. We have no obligation to defend them or fight their wars. They are not our kin in terms of religion. As a matter of fact, it seems to be the opposite. So don't be gaslit. I read this kind of stuff and it seems to be working. I see these guys like Jake Shields and Dan Bilzerian and others. They're saying, oh, you know, ISIS is terrible. They train with the IDF and they're involved with Israel. Look, if you can't support Somalians being removed from the country that are stealing from us, and they tried to sue us for being racist, for apprehending them, you have lost the plot. You know, that's just twisted. If you think Hassan Piker and Zohran Mamdani should be in charge because what, they paid lip service? They said, oh, well, I'm in New York or something. You lost the plot. I don't want to be governed by Netanyahu and Shapiro. I don't want to be governed by Ilhan Omar and Zohran Mamdani. Neither. Thank you very much. Now, the last part of this, I guess we'll have to cover that tomorrow because I think we're running out of time a little bit here. And I'm losing my voice. So you know what? We'll save the latter half of this for tomorrow night. I do want to get into the future of deportations. I want to get into the Trump administration, but that's going to be like another 45 minutes. So I think I'm going to call it here for tonight, and we'll just take a look at the super chats. We'll save the rest of it for tomorrow. I would go on and on, but we're already 100 minutes in. That's good. To really do it justice, I'm going to need to spend at least another 45 minutes to an hour on that. So our third subject, I was going to get into where the Trump administration is, some of the response, but I think we're out of time for tonight. So we're going to move on. We're going to take a look at the super chats. We'll see what you guys have to say about all this. That's my take on the whole situation. I think this is very clarifying. And I've said it over the past few months. We need some clarity, some refinement. What are we actually for? What are our values? And this kind of left-wing crap, this like left economic populism, this veiled anti-American, anti-white sentiment, anti-colonialism, it has to be called out, it has to be identified, and it has to be defeated, okay? And here's all you need to know. I'm going to give you a little nugget here. Okay, Max Blumenthal, remember, when Charlie Kirk was killed, what was the evidence that Israel did it? There were two things. It was that Charlie Kirk went to a fundraiser at Bill Ackman's house in the Hamptons, where they were yelling at him and chastising him to support Israel more. And there was a rumor that he turned down this huge donation from Netanyahu. Those two claims originated from Max Blumenthal's gray zone. They were both debunked. Bill Ackman came out with the receipts and said, as a matter of fact, Charlie Kirk organized the fundraiser in the Hamptons. Charlie Kirk signed up for a discourse about Israel. And then they sent those influencers to Israel on a paid trip. So that's false. This whole thing about Netanyahu bribing Charlie Kirk to the tune of $200 million, that turned out to be false too. He wanted to blame Israel for killing Charlie Kirk. He said Venezuela is terrorism. He said ICE is terrorism. Max Blumenthal has frequently said he's pro-Jewish. He used to work for the SPLC. And in 2004, he did a hit piece on the great Holocaust revisionist David Irving for the SPLC. You can look it up. It's on YouTube. Max Blumenthal, David Irving. He traveled to Eastern Europe, infiltrated one of David Irving's talks, and he did a hit piece on him, calling the whole crowd Nazis, doxing them, calling them Hitler worshippers, and he did it for the SPLC, a group which was formed by Jewish lawyers in the 60s, right there with the ADL and the rest of them. And Blumenthal is the one promulgating these theories that a leftist shot Charlie Kirk, oh, it's actually Israel. A leftist government got overthrown in Venezuela, oh, that's actually for Israel. These Somalian garbage are being deported from the country, oh, it's just like the IDF. Here is what he tweeted about immigration in 2020. This was during the presidential debate between Trump and Joe Biden. He said, now comes the part where both candidates who presided over monstrous policies to separate child migrants from their families and deport them talk about immigration without being pushed to give full amnesty and asylum or end their policies destabilizing Latin America. So this guy supports total amnesty for illegal immigrants. He thinks that Obama was too radical on immigration. This is who you're listening to. A pro-Jewish Jew who worked for the SPLC, did hit pieces on David Irving, is an open borders advocate, is a fucking communist. He's in bed with the Russian media, the Iranian media, and he comes out and says, my gray zone says that Charlie wasn't killed by a tranny-loving hicklib. No, he was killed by Israel. We should cry that Maduro was arrested and we can't deport anybody, abolish ICE because the IDF is involved somehow. You got tricked. You got tricked. And remember Candace Owens said, we agree with Dave Smith on everything. Well, I guess this is one other thing we don't agree with him on. And we have all these people saying, you know, we need to unite with Cenk Uygur and the girl on the program and Hassan Piker and all these other types. Yeah, they say it's a culture war. Okay, well, if it's just a frivolous culture war, then let them deport Somalians then. You let go of it first. These people are open border shills. They want us to be a minority in our own country. And they want that so that all these non-whites can come in, vote in these corrupt aldermen and city council members and state reps literally to take our shit. That's what this is. They want to flood the country with non-whites, elect Democrats, in the city machines and the big blue states, ultimately with an eye on the federal government, and then loot the whole country, bring in all their homeboys with chain migration, and then the country, then our white Christian empire will kneel to some kind of majority-minority workers' republic led by Stacey Abrams. That is what they want. And I do not support that. You shouldn't either. It's the other side of the coin of the same Jewish agenda. I am against Jewish multiculturalism. I'm against Jewish Zionism. You must be against both. You cannot be in favor of one while thinking that you're going against the other. You know, we're going to let Europe become Muslim because we think that, oh, we don't want to be Tommy Robinson. We're going to support Europe fighting Israel's wars because we don't want to be Muhammad Hijab. How about taking your own side as a white Christian person? Or even how about as an American that just wants to see America succeed? It's that simple. Anyway, that's that. We're going to move on. Take a look at our super chatters. And by the way, all these American Communist Party types and socialists, they're all calling me a Zionist shill. We have to lean in. Let them do it. It will wear off over time. Let them overplay their hand on this issue. Fuck them. Fuck Jackson Hinkle, you fucking traitor midget. He lives in Russia. He's never met a black person's dick that he hasn't fallen in love with. He's over there in Burkina Faso. He's over there in Burkina Faso blowing their warlords, talking about, you know, a raised black fist. Oh, Burkina Faso is standing up to the West. Burkina Faso, fuck you, race trading scum. Fuck you, race trader rat. The guy's over there, literally, he's in Yemen where they're stomping on the American flag. And you know what? Like, obviously I'm against Israel. I don't know that I'm going to Yemen with a bunch of towel heads saying death to America, stepping on the flag. I'm not in Burkina Faso and Venezuela giving tongue service, giving a rim job to these third world pieces of shit that hate us. You don't have to do that to criticize Israel. It's insane. So, I mean, I'm so sick of it, I can't even tell you. We have to draw a firm line. I'm not anti this, anti that. I'm pro America. I am pro America. I am anti mass migration. I'm anti Israel. I'm anti Burkina Faso. I'm anti Russia. I'm anti Emirates, Iran, Israel, Venezuela, Europe. I'm anti all of it. I am pro America. If anything, I'm pro Europe. At least they're white. So I can't stand it. I can't tell you how much it bothers me. We're being subsumed in this. Think about the alternative. It is disgusting. You know, I see Jake Shields posted something where like Palantir takes over America and these people in the surveillance state say, hey, at least, you know, we beat up liberals or something. It's like, okay, what's the alternative? You're going to be some like, your white grandchildren are going to be living in Little Mogadishu getting mugged by gangs saying, hey, at least, you know, they're going to be pro-Israel anyway. Oh, hey, well, at least we elected Max Blumenthal. Somebody needs to crash out. No one's talking about this either. And I don't know what Tucker is up to, but I don't like it. I don't know what Candace is up to, but I don't like it. They are not pro-white. They're not pro-America. Tucker, why don't you stay in Maine? Stop going to Qatar. Stop going to Russia. Stop going to Serbia. Why don't you, if you're such an American, why don't you stay in America? He's out there saying, well, I like Maduro. Maduro banned abortion. Well, I care. Okay, bro. Really? It's insane. Who will stand up for America? Who will stand up for our people? No, I'm sorry. I'm not a progressive. Guilty as charged. I am not a liberal. I am not a communist. I am not in solidarity with the workers of the world. I want him out. I want Zohran Mamdani out. I want Ben Shapiro out. The only people that I want here are people that are absolutely committed to the success of America, not crying about colonialism and capitalism and anti-Semitism and white supremacy and racism. But no one will stick up for themselves. I will stick up for myself. I will stick up for America. I am a white man. I am American. I am a Christian. I want Christendom. I want white society. I want America to be as powerful as possible. That means to get this parasitic fifth column of organized Jewry out of our country. And it means also getting all these non-white invaders that hate us and loot our country out of our country as well. It has to be both. Or why even bother trying? They want to split us up and divide us. They want half of the white people that takes the side of Israel. They want the other half of the white people that takes the side of the Muslims and the Somalians. They want one half to be liberals and colorblind meritocracy. They want the other side to be socialists and communists. I'm a nationalist. I'm America first. So anyway, that's that. But I do want to move on. I want to get into our super chats. We'll see what you guys have to say. Somebody needed to say it. Nobody else will. Nobody else has. I'll do it. I don't know how it doesn't make your blood boil. I don't know how it doesn't make you furious. Especially who they are. It's like Haitians, Somalians. They invaded the country. We let them do it. It would be one thing if they were patriotic and grateful, but they hate you. It's palpable that they are so arrogant and they have contempt for us. That is why they steal with no shame. They're waging a war against us. You try to get them out. It's barely even happening. These race traitors become martyrs for them. They don't riot for them. You see the Somalians rioting for their white saviors. It doesn't happen. And you have your own side are agitating for it, saying, yeah, abolish ICE because, you know, they're being too heavy-handed. It's the opposite. They're not being heavy-handed enough. We should have martial law, insurrection act, military in the streets. You think this is militarization? The cops are being chased around on American soil. It's a joke. It's embarrassing. You have little Mogadishu. They're stealing everything that isn't bolted down. You got a few thousand knicky-knack border patrol. They're being chased around. They go and get a cup of coffee. They shut down the whole block, these left-wing trash. And people say, this is like the Gestapo. It's like Nazi Germany. Give me a break. It's not extreme enough. People don't have a stomach for it. You got to grow some fucking balls. Or else, again, we will be pushed around by radical white race traitors, by non-white invaders, until they have taken everything from us. And that's what it is. If you're successful, they tax the shit out of you. If you live in a city, they let the crime and the stench and the filth and the graffiti overwhelm everything until it's unlivable. With chain migration, they're just tag teaming more of them to come in. They grow by the number. In a democracy, they grow in power. They're always increasing in leverage and power over us. We are being pushed out everywhere. You try to run for the hills and they take your farmland and give it to black people. Cory Booker sponsored a bill in the Senate to do exactly this. They chase you. How many counties are under fives, 90% of the population? It's like a handful in Appalachia and in Iowa and in the Dakotas. So, you know, you think this is extreme? This is moderate. I am a moderate. You think this sounds crazy? You think this is extreme? You think what happened over the weekend is a tragedy? Wait until our country is murdered. Wait until our country is murdered and Rome falls. You think this is a tragedy? A lesbian poet and a male nurse? Wait until you see them destroy the Colosseum and Big Ben and the Eiffel Tower. Wait until you see the works of Shakespeare and Goethe and Mozart. burned to the ground by a post-literate, non-white, non-Christian society. You think this is a tragedy? Wait 100 years. People say it's too heavy-handed because they're deporting 500 people per day with a couple hundred cops. Seriously? They say, well, this is like the Gestapo. You know, Dave Smith says, these guys are pussies. I'm a hardcore libertarian. Bro, where is the place for liberty in Zohran Mamdani's America? You're a libertarian? Dude, these people wipe their ass with the Constitution. They wipe their ass with the Magna Carta. I don't like government jackbooted thugs killing Americans. Okay, well, you know what? They shouldn't be jumping in front of the cops with a loaded gun to save these irredeemable scamming invaders. How about that? You know what? But our country will die. It appears inevitable because no one will fight for it. No one's willing to. It's that simple. No one will fight the mob. No one will fight the women. No one will fight the media. No one will fight the Jewish gangsters. In the end, everybody wants to feel like they're good. They want approval from the media. They want approval from the masses. They want approval from their wife. They want to be able to go to the club or whatever. Okay. It is costing us everything. And I hope you realize that. You know, these ethnic enclaves are just going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger until there's nothing left. Don't you see that? London, Paris, Berlin, Rome, Madrid, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, it's all gone. It's all lost. It's over. Everything you love, the stories, the holidays, the seasons, the culture, the food, us, our parents, our family, our neighborhoods, our friends, it's being killed. They want it more than us. They're willing to take. They're willing to conquer. They have no shame. They take their own side. We cry. We betray ourselves. And then when the traitors die, we cry over it. It's what it is. I don't know. What is it worth to you? You have to understand this. It is a mathematical inevitability. Canada, finished. Australia, finished. Western Europe, finished. It's done. What will be left of it? You'll be an alien in your own country. It's gone. Am I making that point? It's not, you know, people, because it's distant, it's not imminent by definition. And so people cannot realize it. They can only imagine it. But you have to begin to realize it. You have to begin to see how this country is changing. And, you know, there's going to need to be some radical changes. We're going to have to do what's necessary. And, you know, look, peace is always on the table. But if you want peace, you must prepare for war. There's people here that can't be here. They got to go. There's people that want to prevent us from removing them. We want to do it the easy way. We wish nobody would get hurt. But if you want to be in a position to get them to leave without anybody getting hurt, you got to prepare for war. You got to steel yourself and be ready. It's that simple.